Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Nintendo Everything Refresh, the usually weekly show where we keep you up to date on everything new and exciting in the world of Nintendo. I'm your host, Nick Serpa, joined today by the elusive, but we're very grateful he's here, Dennis Gagliardotto.
Yeah, they finally got me. They finally got me. I was hanging out with...
We got him!
I know, I was hanging out with Bigfoot. And the damn traps, they got me.
We're happy to have you here, Dennis, and just in time for the big summer gaming blowout season of news.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry for the lack of episode, folks. Past few weeks have been crazy. We had one episode that we recorded that was really good, but we had some technical issues, and so we couldn't put that one out. And then a couple weeks of people's schedules just not aligning has just made it difficult for us to put together an episode. But we are getting back into the swing of things, and we should have, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future, we should be back to weekly episodes. So thank you for everyone's patience. And yeah, just in time too, because Dennis, you may have missed it, but Nintendo announced a new game this week.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. If this is going where I think it's going.
It is, yeah. Not probably something people were expecting. Nintendo announced a sequel to 1-2 Switch this week, everyone's favorite launch game, called Everybody 1-2 Switch. And good luck finding information about this game, because there is not even a trailer out there. There is one screenshot on the Switch eShop page, and that is about it. They're charging $30 for this game, and they have not said anything about it since they announced it a couple days ago. So, yeah, this is a weird one, Dennis. I remember, I think it was last year, there were some rumors that they were working on this exact game, but that there was a lot of uncertainty and that it could get canceled, and here it is.
Yeah, it was not testing well, to no one's surprise. And the first one... Let's go back in time a little bit. All right, 2017 happens, right? It's March. God, I want to say March 4th, 2017, I want to say. Maybe March 3rd. And we have three games.
It was the third.
It was the third, okay. So we have, I believe it was just three games, three launch games, physical anyways. There might have been more in the eShop, but there was three launch games physically that you could get with the Nintendo Switch when it launched. One of them was obviously the masterpiece that was Breath of the Wild. The second one was, I think it was Just Dance. I could be wrong. I want to say Just Dance was one of them.
Was it a Super Bomberman R was one of them, right?
Oh, was it? Was it? I couldn't remember.
I think so. Maybe it wasn't physical, but
maybe.
Yeah, that's my memory.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know it eventually became physical, but yeah, I don't know if it was physical on launch day, but yeah, either way, there wasn't much. But one of the offerings from Nintendo, anyways, from a first party perspective, was 1-2 Switch. And this game, for whatever reason, was not a pack-in. You know, this was a $50 disaster that had six mini-games total. Now, I still maintain, credit where credit's due, that is still, 1-2 Switch is still the best use of the Joy-Con I've seen to date. Because it is incredible what those things are capable of. And if you've never played 1-2 Switch, then you don't really know what the Joy-Cons can really do. Because the whole time, you know, before the Switch came out, I was like, HD rumble this, HD rumble that. But honestly...
Ice cubes this.
Right.
You know.
Exactly, yeah. And like, and since then, I mean, the rumble just feels like rumble. I mean, the biggest difference is, like, I don't know if you've ever opened a Joy-Con. I've opened my fair share because I've, you know, changed the shells. But like... It's
I thought you were gonna say I have to replace the joysticks every 6 months. But
no.
To be fair,
I did have to replace the stick once personally. But ever since Nintendo started doing them for free, I just started sending it to them. I was just like, no, y'all take care of it.
There you
this
go.
This is your mess.
Smart man.
Yeah. So, But yeah, no, I've opened them my fair share of times, and it's interesting because, you know, Rumble in your traditional controller, where, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, any third-party controller, those are typically just motors, right? You just have motors on the inside that they just spin really, really fast at various, like, velocities to give you varying sort of, you know, intensities of vibration. But the HD Rumble, it's just a sponge, man. That's all it is, just this little sponge. It's really cool, like, how it works. It's incredible technology, but, again... It it's so odd because it's capable of doing so much. I mean, one of the mini games on 1-2 Switch was this, my favorite one, was you had to guess how many marbles you had in your Joy-Con. And you would just tilt your Joy-Con and you could feel, I promise you, I swear to God, it felt like actual little tiny balls, little marbles hitting, you know, each, you know, the insides of this Joy-Con, and you could accurately like tell what, you know, how many were in there. I'd be like, oh, that feels like eight. Oh, that feels like three, whatever. And then, you know, you would guess on the screen and it would tell you know, if you were right or wrong. But it was like so cool. And that was definitely my favorite one, but I haven't seen the use of that since, you know. So it kills me when a game is just like, you know, it supports HD Rumble, and then you play it, and it's just like, this is just normal Rumble. Like, this is the, well, there's nothing special about this. I think the closest we
Right.
got, you know, since then was maybe, I remember Mario Odyssey making actually pretty good use of the HD Rumble. Like, it felt, the rumbles felt really good, whether you were underwater or collecting a coin or you
I
had
do
something
remember
beneath
that.
you that
Yeah.
was rumbling. Like, that
Yeah.
felt pretty good. But otherwise, HD Rumble, I think, is such an underutilized technology, and it's a shame. But anyways, everybody wants to switch. I don't know if you saw the cover art. I mean, again, like you said, it's, there's not much of anything about this game, but the cover art doesn't even have Nintendo's logo on it,
They're
which
like,
made me laugh.
what? Yeah.
Yeah, even they don't want to put out this game, but they're just like, forget it. We have this. We probably spent so much money on it. Let's see what we can get back on it. Let's see what type of return we can
Yeah.
make.
All right. I will say this. Okay. I'm gonna try and be a little optimistic about this game. I'm gonna try. Just give
Okay.
them the benefit of the doubt. Okay.
Okay.
So in this one piece of cover art, it's literally all we have to go by.
Yeah.
They show a bunch of people with Joy-Cons and then a bunch of people with their phones, which implies that there's some way that you can play these games on your phone, like using them as extra controllers. And I'll say, like, you know, they're like I've gone to some get-togethers where we've all been playing like Jackbox Party Pack, which you can just play from your phone. And there are some good games and stuff like that. And so, you know, I think depending on what the games are, you know, if it's something that might be just accessible to anyone with a phone, like, you know, for $30, yeah, there could be some value and, you know, there might be some opportunities to get a bunch of people involved and have some fun. But that said, like, we don't know what any of the games are. They're being so vague about what is actually in this.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
can't imagine it's a lot for $30, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's cheaper this time around. I mean, hopefully, yeah, like you said, with the use of a phone, I think it'll be a little more, I don't know, involved, I guess. But because you're adding a phone to it, it makes me wonder, again, going back to the Rumble, how much of the Joy-Con's being utilized, or if this is just
Right.
a set of mini games this time, and they're just kind of putting the technology to the side, because you're not going to feel Rumble on your phone, really. I mean, your phone can vibrate, but it's not as sophisticated as a Joy-Con, you know?
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think there's potential there. It reminds me of the PlayStation PlayLink games. I don't know if you remember those, but
I do, yeah.
those were actually like a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed those games, like Hidden Agenda. I think Erica was technically one. That was a great story game. That's You was like a great trivia game. Knowledge is Power. Yeah, I just, so many of those I had so much fun with. And I'm sad that they sort of stopped that venture, and because I thought those PlayLink games were super, super creative. They weren't the best in terms of like how they
Right.
were critically received, but I mean, they were fun and they were cheap. They were only like $20 a pop, I think. So, they were cool for what they were, and you only had to use your phone, so that was neat. But I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah,
yeah, we'll see.
it's right around the corner. It's coming out June 30th and it's only $30. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one lands. Hopefully, I feel like they were just trying to just get this announcement out of the way. Hopefully that means they have some bigger announcements coming. Maybe in a direct soon. We'll see.
Maybe, yeah, it was like, this is not an E3 announcement. It's or what
Yeah,
would have been
no,
E3. Yeah.
definitely not. They also announced at the same time that they're releasing some new Joy-Con colors, which are very pretty if you like soft pastels. There's a purple, a green, a pink, and a yellow one, which I feel like, have we seen some of these? I lose track of which ones. I feel like these are colors that already existed, but maybe not.
It looks like it, because I think that blue looks like the one that came with the Animal Crossing Switch.
Yeah,
and then
okay. That was what I thought, but...
Yeah, and then the yellow, well, we've seen yellow before, but it was a slightly more, like, prominent yellow. This one's more of a faded, I mean, because it's pastel, so it's, you know, it's going to be a little lighter, a little cuter. But that yellow, we have seen a yellow Joy-Con before, though. But otherwise,
yeah,
the pink
okay.
and that purple, those are pretty new, and they look nice, too. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I think they look nice. I'm still a little shocked that they're still charging $80 for Joy-Cons, especially when even, like, the controllers for the next-gen, you know, PlayStation and Xbox that just came out, I think they're only asking, like, $70 for those. So I'm still shocked when I see that price tag. But, so yeah, those were some surprises from Nintendo that I don't think anyone was expecting last week. One piece of not-so-good news that is going to be a little bit of a shame, especially if to our 3DS owners out there. One of the studios that has been supporting Nintendo on a lot of their projects, they're called Vanpool. They announced this past week that they have basically shut down and they're dissolving. If you haven't heard their name before, they're probably best known for their Dylan's Rolling Western series on the 3DS. I think those are their big, most recent original games that I can think of. Mm-hmm. And those were a while ago. And it looks like since then, they've been helping out on a lot of other stuff. I remember seeing them in the credits for the port Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe. Looks like they helped out with some other Kirby games, including Forgotten Land. So it looks like they've been busy, but yeah, it's kind of weird. They're just shutting down, I guess.
Yeah, it's always sad when you see stuff like this happen, because, I mean, especially when you look at the projects that they've worked on, and successful projects too, whether they're collaborative or original, you know, and it's just like, well, what happened? Like, is it internal? Was it just an internal decision of just like, I think, you know, we've done what we've needed to do, let's shut it down? Or like, are you getting, I mean, you said they're getting dissolved, so clearly they're not getting absorbed, but you know, sometimes they, you know, there's a situations where a studio will get absorbed into another studio and just become one. But yeah, it's interesting. I think I played the first Dylan's Rolling Western on 3DS. It was fine. I mean, I liked it. But yeah, I mean, considering they've done collaborations with all these Kirby games and, you know, and Mario and Luigi, I believe, too. Like, it's weird. It's weird to see that happen.
Yeah. I don't know where they're based out of. Sometimes when studios say they're dissolving, it means they're being kind of split up into other parts of the company. But Vanpool, as far as I'm aware, they just, like, they're not owned by Nintendo. They just work with them pretty frequently. So, yeah, it's interesting. I have some memories playing the first Dylan's game on 3DS. Gotta remember, like, at the time, like, you know, the 3DS, I mean, shoot, 2012, it was a pretty new system, and people were hungry for stuff to play, and here was a new IP from Nintendo that was doing something different. And even though it was a smaller game, you know, it was fully 3D, it was open, I mean, it was pretty ambitious at the time. There were a couple games in that series, but yeah, we haven't really gotten anything from this studio since then, so I'm always curious about, you know, what stuff that happens behind the scenes, but it's very rare that we actually get a glimpse of that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bit of a shame, but, you know, hopefully everyone is off onto new adventures, and hey, maybe, you know, what do you think the odds are that we'll ever get anything else from the Dylan series, that maybe we'll get those games repackaged or something?
I mean, it's, you know, never say never, but at the same time, it's just like, this isn't just exclusive to the Dylan's Rolling Western series, but just it makes me think about, because the 3DS eShop is shut down now, all the, you know, games that are just sort of gone forever, at least legally, right?
Right. Just,
I mean, obviously, there's always emulators, but I mean, but legally speaking, they're just sort of gone, you know, forever. They're just lost in time now. They're, you know, they're just nothing but a memory, and it's like, you know, it's I hate seeing art of any kind be sort of,
yeah,
you know,
especially when it's
like
these
that
more like experimental things that just Nintendo doesn't really make nowadays, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I'll go more into detail later. But, you know, I think back of one of the games that really blew me away, which was, you know, Attack of the Friday Monsters, which was, speaking of experimental games, which that game was like, it was so neat just because of how unique it was. And it was cheap too, it was just a couple dollars. But they had a couple of those experimental games, and
yeah,
I don't know, it's a shame.
I made a point in picking up that game specifically, actually, just before the eShop shut down, and I haven't played it yet.
Oh, wow.
It's on my list, because that was one of those games that just, throughout the 3DS era, I always heard people talk about. I was like, oh, I really should check that out, and I'm going to do it one of these days.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
And yeah, speaking of stuff shutting down, I think may not come as a total shock to people who are more plugged into the global situation, but Nintendo is shutting down basically their whole presence in Russia. My understanding is it's tied to the situation between Russia and Ukraine, which I'm not like a current events geopolitical expert, but you know, there's a lot of politics and stuff behind that, but it feels like a lifetime ago. But I think some folks who are listening will probably remember back when all that was happening, a lot of companies kind of protested in a way by kind of ceasing operations or reducing operations in Russia. And so it looks like that is probably part of the reason behind what is going on here. Nintendo is saying, as a result of the economic outlook, Nintendo of Europe has decided to wind down operations of its Russian subsidiary. So if you are in Russia, you cannot buy games on the eShop anymore. You can still re-download things that you have purchased. But they also, I mean, they completely, like, they got rid of the CEO of Nintendo of Russia, which, you know, he's been involved in some conduct, you know, allegations, and there have been some reporting about potential situations of him not behaving properly, be diplomatic about it. So yeah, it's a weird situation for sure.
It sucks when you have political figures that don't realize how damaging their actions can be, you know, and how much it affects an entire nation of people, you know. And now economic outlook can mean so many different things, right? I mean, maybe it's not a political thing. Maybe it's just like, you know, hey, it's not worth, you know, us distributing there because of some sort of tax reason, you know, kind of similar to, you know, what they did in some areas in South America. I just feel really bad for, you know, the people that, you know, like most people that just, you know, wake up every day, they go to work, come home, and they want to decompress with some video games.
Right.
And now they can't do that. You know, at least
the
not
average
locally.
People, you know.
Yeah. Right, the average people, yeah. At least not locally. I mean, obviously, you know, thankfully Nintendo Switch isn't region locked, you know, so they can just make an account, you know, in another region and, you know, sort of take advantage of the services.
That's
that
true.
Way. So, you know, it's not the end-all be-all. It's not like every Nintendo Switch is just a paperweight now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still, it still works as intended.
You can still get
it's
physical
just,
games, yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, you just won't be able to get, you know, a localized eShop, that's all. But, yeah, no, it's just, it's unfortunate those things sort of happen. The CEO, on the other hand, I mean, you know, that dude, I mean, if it's with all the allegations and stuff, I mean, it's clear that, you know, I mean, he had to go a long time ago, but
yeah,
but
it seems
that aside,
way.
Yeah, but that aside, yeah, it's just it's unfortunate that these things happen.
Yeah, I wonder if we have any listeners in Russia. I haven't checked the analytics lately. If you're listening from Russia, please comment. I'm very interested to hear from you. All right, well, let's talk about some more exciting stuff. It's been a couple weeks since we've had an episode, so there's actually been quite a few game announcements in that time. I had talked about some of them in the episode that had a lot of technical issues, so we'll talk about them again since that episode never came out. Some pretty big surprises, I would say. So the one that's been at the top of my mind lately is, we had a great racing game a couple years ago, Hot Wheels Unleashed, which was, I reviewed it for the site, I really enjoyed it. It was a really cool game if you grew up playing with the Hot Wheels toys. They had these super realistic looking, like, die-cast models of you're building orange track all over these virtual houses and racing on them, and it was really good. And they announced this past week that there is a sequel coming to the Switch, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged. And I'm really curious to check this one out. I'll actually be getting hands-on with it pretty soon at Summer Games Fest, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. But yeah, I think this was a great little racing game that has kind of slipped under the radar for people, and it's cool that it's doing well enough to get a sequel.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised just because, I mean, the first one, like, I think a lot of people did enjoy it. I never actually played it myself. I always meant to. And then now that it's on Game Pass, actually, I really should because it's right there for me, you know? But I know there was a lot of, I guess there was a lot of, I can't remember if it was optimization issues or just a lot of weird microtransactions and DLC that people weren't happy with. Because I guess
Yeah.
the Ultimate Edition or the Game of the Year Edition still doesn't include everything that has come out for that game, and it pissed a lot of people off. And yeah, there's just a lot of weird DLC sort of controversy around it from last I checked. Because I remember I was actually did want to buy it. It was on sale for a good price, and I was gonna get it on Xbox. But I went to the reviews, and I was like, my God, it was like 2 out of 5 stars. I was like, what's going on here? And I started reading the reviews, and everybody was just so upset about, you know, optimization and the DLC. And it's just like, oh, you know, these people are, you know, they're greedy, don't support this nonsense. The servers don't work. You know, if you want to play multiplayer or whatever, it crashes all the time on, you know, Series S or whatever. And then, you know, and if for some reason it's not, doesn't have smart delivery either. So you have to buy every version separately. You know, you can't get the Xbox One version and get the, you know, Series X and S version, you know, and vice versa. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of weird things around it. Yeah, so it made me want to just go ahead and get it on PC instead. I was like, there we go. That way it's just a one and done. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
so.
I do remember with the microtransactions, they had a lot of like licensed car packs. So like some of the licensed things, like you could get, like, if I remember correctly, they had like a Batman car pack. They had like different like Batmobile
Yeah.
ones. And my guess is the partially to cover the cost of licensing, it was like a paid DLC. But I feel like at launch, I feel like there's a pretty good amount of content in the game. I didn't really feel like I was missing anything. Game did get a little repetitive. Like, it definitely had some flaws, and I think, like, anything running on the Switch is gonna have some compromises. But overall, I thought it was a good time. It apparently has done really well for them, so I'm interested to see what they change up with this one. They're saying there are just going to be some improvements, I guess, to the multiplayer. You can create like a party with friends, so it'll be
Oh,
interesting to see
okay.
how that works on the Switch. I'm a little bit nervous about this bullet point: a story-driven career mode starring 4 original characters.
Oh,
Just
God.
what people want from the Hot Wheels,
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're really going for that Fast and Furious
Yeah.
5, aren't they? That's...
Okay, so I gotta ask, Dennis, is you seem like
Okay.
you have some nostalgia for this. Did you ever play, there's this old Hot Wheels game on the PC. It was called Hot Wheels Velocity X. I think it came to
Oh
the
man.
GameCube and stuff. Did you ever play
Say
that
no more,
game?
sir. Say no more. Oh,
You
yes, I
know what I'm
did.
talking about?
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, I was all about it.
Dude.
Loved that game. Absolutely loved it.
Okay. That game had a story, and I remember it being just absolutely
Yeah.
bonkers. Like, if that is what I want. If you're gonna put a story in this game, it needs to be that level of ridiculous, please.
Yeah.
Give me like an evil cackling villain and like this angsty, 20-something kid who's like, "My name is Max Speed," or whatever. And
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
I'm all
right, yeah.
about it.
Oh God, it's such like a one of those like B movie type things, you know. It's just like why? How did no one like cringe while they were making this? They
I
kept
don't
before,
know.
like who were the cheerleaders and just kept, yeah, no, we're just keep going with it. Just keep doing it. Like who like no one thought to like pull someone aside and be like, look, listen, we need to talk. We need to talk about this one.
Gosh.
Whereas this is a little too
Yeah, now okay, that's gonna be if I have a chance to talk to the developers, I'm gonna ask them about that game at Summer Games Fest and be like, yo, why are you not remastering Hot Wheels Velocity X? Come on, guys. That's what everyone really wants. So yeah, that was a pretty big surprise. We also got this one has kind of had been leaked to hell and back, but Mortal Kombat 1 was announced recently, and surprisingly coming to the Switch, which, I mean, we did get the last Mortal Kombat game on the Switch, Mortal Kombat 11, so it's not a complete surprise, but and we haven't seen any gameplay yet, but yeah, this is a full they're calling it the latest reboot of the Mortal Kombat series. And there should be some gameplay coming out at Summer Games Fest this week, is kind of what has been hinted at. So we should have a chance to see it in action soon, but yeah, pretty big surprise. I wasn't expecting this one to be able to make it to the Switch.
Neither was I. I was surprised to see the logo pop up after I watched the trailer. I mean, I love me some Mortal Kombat. I've never been particularly good at them.
Likewise. Yeah, so we should play each other then, is what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That'll be. Oh my God. Yeah. Bring that to Evo. That'd be crazy. Oh my God. I'd love to see the comments there on that stream. Just you and I, just two people who don't know what the hell they're doing. And
kind of sad.
Oh my God. But yeah, no, I've always been a fan of Mortal Kombat. I mean, they have some of the most iconic characters, I think, not just for fighting games, but I think in all of video games, you know. Mortal Kombat 11 sort of made sense because that was sort of a cross-gen title. But this one's like, if I'm not mistaken, this one's a purely next-gen game, isn't it? Like, it's not coming even either to Xbox One and PS4. Like, this is... Or am I incorrect in saying that?
No, that's... As far as what's been announced so far, it's coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PC, and Switch. Not PS4 and Xbox One.
Right, so that's weird that, like, I mean, unless... And, you know, they haven't confirmed anything yet, but, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a cloud version. I don't think they want to do that for a fighting game, but...
Yeah.
It just seems... I mean, they did a pretty good job, and I'm sort of giving the benefit of the doubt here, but they did a pretty good job with Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch. I mean, even though, you know, it was crunched, you know, to hell and back.
Right,
It, at the very least, it was, for all, you know, credits due, it was playable, you know.
It was the full game, you know.
It was the full game, yeah, and it was playable. So, but it's just interesting to me that they're doing that again. You know, they're taking the leap again with this. So I don't know what type of wizardry they're, you know, going to be working with this, but unless this is one of those situations where it's like, I was going to say if it's like Hogwarts Legacy. No, but Hogwarts Legacy is still coming out to Switch, right? Like, it's still in
it is. Or did that get canceled? Yeah, okay. It got delayed to November recently.
Okay, what game am I thinking of that got canceled? I think, Midnight Suns. That's what
got
canceled recently.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not coming out to Switch anymore. So I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a situation like that, or if they're really going to... I mean, even Hogwarts Legacy, I can't believe, is still happening, honestly, but...
Yeah, okay, well, we're going off track a little bit, but with that game, they had to make some compromises to get it to run on PS4 and Xbox One. Like, they actually had to change parts of the castle so that you... there are parts in when you're exploring Hogwarts Castle where you're, like, crossing a little bridge to go between buildings, and on the... PS4 and Xbox One versions, they covered it up, so you can't see outside anymore, because my guess is the consoles probably couldn't just render all that at the same time. So I would, so they actually have had to change parts of the game to get it to run on those systems. So I'm a little bit nervous about what they'll need to do to get it to run on the Switch.
Hogwarts Castle is just going to be a little cardboard box. That's just going to be, this is it. It's one classroom. It's a studio apartment. that's what it is.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, you know, my sticking point with this game in particular, I love fighting games, like I said, even though I'm not always particularly good at them. But I'm kind of just at the point now where, like, look, they're asking $70 for this game, even on the Switch. And I'm like, man, if I'm spending $70 on a game, I want it to look like a $70 game, you know? I want it to look and feel like a $70 game.
The best experience possible.
Right. So if it was coming in at maybe, you know, $60 or maybe even a slightly lower price, you know, it's never going to happen. But then it's like, okay, you look at, like, the premium edition costs $110 now, including on the Switch. And I'm just like, unless this is, like, some miracle port and it just completely nailed, which is possible, you know. I'm just a little hesitant about that, but I'm excited to see some gameplay for this. I'm excited to see how they change it up. They fell into a really good rhythm with the combat ever since Mortal Kombat 10, and I frankly, again, not being a Mortal Kombat expert, but I can't really imagine how they'd improve it too much. I'm excited to see what the new story mode will look like, considering it's like a reboot of the whole narrative. So seems to be some weird time, you know, meta, you know, universe mixing shenanigans potentially in all this. So we'll see. But I'm excited for it. It'll be interesting. And yeah, that one is coming out September 19th, so not too long of a wait for that one either. All right, so now these next ones, I gotta give the caveat that they have not technically been confirmed for the Switch, but I wanted to talk about them here because these are all games that are kind of known for being on Switch at this point. So, and there's a good chance that they'll come over. We don't know for sure, but if I had to put money on it, I'd bet that at least one of these games is gonna come to the Switch. So Marvelous had a live stream, I want to say it was a couple weeks ago, and they announced a bunch of new projects for some of their big franchises and some that I don't think people are expecting. The big one is that we got new Rune Factory games, plural games announced. Rune Factory 6 was announced. Seems to be pretty early in development because they really haven't mentioned any details about it other than that they're working on it. But they also announced a new Rune Factory game called Rune Factory Project Dragon, which is a spin-off set in a kind of Japanese-inspired world. And they showed off like someone like looks like they're riding a dragon, like pretty crazy.
I love me some Rune Factory, man, but Rune Factory 5 was sort of all over the place in terms of like quality and like how good it was. Like there were times where I was really enjoying that game, and then there were other times where I was just like, this is just a mess. And whether it was because of performance or just because the gameplay was just sort of a mess, or it was buggy, and localization was sort of all over the place also, and I don't know. It had its ups and downs. Rune Factory 5 just wasn't a consistent. Well, that's the best word to use, really. It just wasn't consistent. And compared to Rune Factory 4 and just other Rune Factory titles, where I've sat and I've put 50 plus hours, without budging, and it never felt like, it would drag on those 50 plus hours, even 100 plus in some cases. Would feel very natural. Rune Factory 5, man, after I don't even know how many hours I put into it. Definitely wasn't as much as other Rune Factory games, but after a while I was like, I'm good, man. I'm done with this. It's just the world felt very uninspired and bland, and no one was particularly interesting to me. And it was taking too long to like the romance options. It was just taking too long, and it just, I was like, even like an hour into that game, I was like, I'm ready to settle down, man. Just, I'm done with these carrots and cabbages. I just want to just find me a nice lady and just that's it. I'm done.
No, I hear you. I reviewed that game for the site. God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does.
It was only like a year ago, really, which is crazy. But yeah, I had similar. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. But it definitely was rough around the edges. It felt a little bloated in certain areas. It felt a little unpolished in certain areas. Really charming though, and I think like for people who like, there's Rune Factory is kind of, I feel like, in a league of its own. Not saying it's like the best of these type of games, but if you're looking for a game that does what Rune Factory does, I still feel like Rune Factory probably does it the best. Like the mix of adventuring and life sim and farming and romance and relationship options, like it's really compelling. So yeah, but Rune Factory 5 definitely needed more time in the oven, I feel like. That said, I can't believe they announced two new ones, and the spin-off one sounds interesting to me, and I just want to see more, basically.
I really want them to just remake, because they're going back and they're remastering all these other ones, but I just really want them to do the ones that came out on the Wii, like Frontier and Tides of Destiny.
Tides
Like
of
those are the ones I've
Destiny.
had them yeah those are the ones that I've had the most fun with, and those were the ones that I also feel like were the most they felt the most adventurous also. The other ones, well, I don't know, well, Rune Factory 4 felt pretty adventurous actually, but those ones in particular, I don't know, maybe because it was the first time I really saw them in, full-fledged, like, 3D, and maybe at the time they blew my mind, so it just, you know, maybe I'm just remembering them more fondly than they actually were. But yeah, I would really like to see those get touched up upon again.
On top of all that, Marvel has also announced new Story of Seasons games. Again, not a ton of info on these yet, but we know that the first one is kind of a they described it as a traditional Story of Seasons game, which, you know, take it or leave it. But they also announced a new one that is multiplayer focused that you can play with your friends. So, yeah, again, this is all stuff that is seemingly very early in development because we don't really have any trailer footage, we don't have any release window, we don't have any platforms. But yeah, it's a good time to be a fan of farming sims. That has not changed since last summer,
Oh
so so lots of options there.
it's cool to see this genre sort of take a new life of its own, just because I think farming sims outside of, you know, and I'm talking like 10 plus years ago, even 20 years ago, where it's just like, I mean, outside of like Harvest Moon, you know, at the time you didn't really have much of anything else that was really either popular or worth playing. You know, they just didn't get buzz. I mean, outside of Animal Crossing 2 on the original GameCube, but since then, yeah, there's something that's been happening over the course of the last 5 years, I want to say, that, you know, and I really think Stardew Valley did something different. You know, Stardew Valley really just blew everything up again out of proportion, you know, and ever since then, you've been seeing all these games, whether they're like Stardew Valley or not, but just farming sims in general, you see them try to chase that success and that popularity, you know, even if they're not trying to be like Stardew Valley, you know, like Story of Seasons isn't trying to be like, no one plays Story of Seasons and goes, oh, this is like Stardew Valley. No one does that, you know, but they want to channel that success, and they want to channel that same sort of similar atmosphere that keeps people coming back and playing more and more. And I think the closest we got to that really was New Horizons. New Horizons did something crazy. I mean, it came out at such a great time, you know, during the pandemic.
Oh,
So, and that was everyone's life for the longest time. It was a phenomenal, beautiful game. But even then, I mean, is Animal Crossing really a farming sim? I mean, Animal Crossing's always sort of been a league of
I
its
wouldn't
own,
call it a
but
farming
yeah,
sim.
neither.
There's farming in it, but you know, it's
It's
not much deeper
pretty
than
loose.
planting a tree. Yeah, so. All right, and one more Marvelous announcement I want to hit on really quick. Big surprise. Do you remember a Daemon X Machina?
I
Because
do,
I forgot about it, and they announced a sequel for it. Daemon X Machina called Titanic Scion is the name of the sequel. Which when I read
from mechs to
that,
ships.
I immediately thought of like Scion, like the car brand that doesn't exist anymore. It's like picturing a really big car. No, this is really cool. I played a little bit. I think I played the demo for Daemon X Machina. I never played through the full game. But the Epic Games gave it away on PC, so I have it
That's right.
sitting there waiting to play it.
Yeah, I have it there too. Yeah, thank God they did that, man, because like the demo was really cool for Daemon X Machina, but it ran like absolute garbage on the Switch. And it didn't look the best either. So thank God, because I've always been interested in that game, and I always like said like, oh man, this game has so much potential. So thank God it came out to PC and Epic gave it out for free that one time. Because I mean, yeah, it's been sitting in my library too. So and I keep like it's one of those games that sits in the back
One
of
of
my
these
head where I'm just like,
days.
yeah, one of these days, I know,
Famous last words. I know how you feel. But yeah, it's just wild that they're making a sequel to it. I didn't feel like it. I mean, it was really like lots of original ideas in it for sure, but I just don't remember it like really landing in the way that probably they and Nintendo had hoped. So, and yeah, again, no platforms announced for this one. It could come to the Switch, considering the first one was a Switch exclusive for a long period of time. It's not anymore, but yeah. So Marvelous has a lot of stuff in the works. Just not a lot of info on it yet. All right. I do want to talk about some of the games that have come out recently, but before we get to that, just a couple weird oddities. First of all, if you've forgotten, there's a new Samba de Amigo game coming out later this year, which I'm actually extremely excited for. But when I was looking at the song list, I couldn't help but laugh. It is just like the strangest like song list for like this game about a monkey shaking maracas. Like I just Dennis, like go look at this track list and just
okay,
I mean you've got you know just some like super like safe pop songs, of course, you know. You got like Maroon 5, Lady Gaga, Kesha, the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, God, like what year is this?
Yeah, what's going on here? I'm yeah, this ain't, what is this, Flo Rida? What is going on here? Kesha?
I know. I kind of love it. And Bon Jovi too. Can't forget Bon Jovi.
Oh, there's a track from Sonic Forces. Oh Lord.
What? Yes, and Sonic Adventure 2. So there's some Sega music in this game. I feel like I also remember them saying there's gonna. I can't. Hopefully this wasn't just a fever dream, but I feel like I remember them saying there's gonna be a track from Rhythm Thief in this game. Rhythm Thief from Emperor's Treasure for the 3DS.
Yeah.
I don't see it on here.
Yeah, I remember that.
No,
I don't see it either.
Yeah, maybe that was a fever dream, but yeah. So. It's just interesting.
This list doesn't make any sense, man. This I mean, and what a selection too, for better or for worse. Because you're literally going from Carly Rae Jepsen to Pitbull to Miley Cyrus to
what
to
a world
Daddy
we live
Yankee.
In.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know what I might end up doing though, Dennis? It was announced this week. So this new Samba de Amigo game, it's getting a VR version. For the Quest. Which that actually sounds amazing to me, like being able to see all that, like all just the craziness around you in VR and with the motion controls and everything, you're gonna look an absolute buffoon. But like,
well, yeah,
man,
I mean, are you
gonna, I'm here for
you
it.
You get your own set of maracas, because that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be really good, actually. Yeah. And another just oddity. So a couple years ago, we got a remastered version of The Wonderful 101, the former Wii U Platinum Games exclusive that really slipped under the radar. It was kickstarted and everything, and apparently, just over the course of the past few weeks, they just released some new DLC for it. it's free DLC, and it is it kind of turns the game into like a side-scroller, apparently. And has some new story content in it too, so that's pretty wild.
It's always weird seeing that, you know. It's like here's a game that came out years ago, and then it just sort of, you know, it wasn't updated, it got no DLC, it was just sort of came and went. And then all of a sudden, years later, it's just like, bam, here's something random.
Yeah, it's like, what decade are we in right now?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, really cool. It's cool that this game is finally getting some extra love. After, I think, just not being something that people thought of for a long time. All right, well, let's talk about the stuff that has actually come out recently. Obviously, we've all been playing Zelda around these parts, but other games have come out, believe it or not. So there's a new Katamari remaster that is out now. They have put together a remastered version of We Love Katamari. Is called We Love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie. I still don't know what Royal Reverie is, but it's probably some type of extra new content or mode. It looks like there's some extra like challenges in that mode and some new story content, but yeah, I just played the Katamari Damacy remaster earlier this year. I had a great time with it, so I actually do kind of want to pick those up. These games are great for just like short pick up and play sessions.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
They're super funny and just weird, and just the chaos that comes from the physics of just rolling around a giant ball of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. It's crazy to me that we've gotten two of these remasters too. Like it. I was surprised when we got one, and I'm surprised they're making another one, too. It almost feels like they're testing the waters for something, but I guess time will tell on that front.
I hope so. I mean, there's nothing really quite Katamari Damacy. I mean, ever since I first played it on PS2, it's always been one of those games that just like has always stood out among every other
Yeah.
game in the medium, you know? It just there's nothing like it.
No, there really isn't. It's completely in a genre of its own, I feel like. But yeah, so that's really cool. That one is out now, and I think there might be a. Is there a demo for this one? I don't know.
I'm not seeing
I
it
don't
on the eShop,
think there is.
but
Yeah. Well, regardless, I based on what I've played of the first one, I think it's probably worth the $30 if you're looking to go back in time a little bit and play some quirky PS2 gems that haven't lost their touch. Can't go wrong. This next game, believe it or not, is an EA game on the Switch. Wow. What a
what?
concept.
Oh my God, they remembered. There
They
was another
remembered.
platform.
We exist.
Yeah.
This is Super Mega Baseball 4, which, for those who aren't familiar, I kind of look at it when people are asking me about this, which never happens, but if someone were to ask me about this, I'd be like, it's kind of like a modern day version of like backyard baseball, like that type of like look and like feel to it, like a little more
Oh
arcadey,
yeah.
but with like real teams and players. It's like it's not as simulation focused as something like MLB The Show. Yeah, this one just launched on Switch. I'm actually going to play a little bit of it at Summer Games Fest, which I'm looking forward to. I don't play a lot of sports games, but I do really like ones that aren't so simulation focused, that are just more focused on just like the fun of the sport, you know? And this one has just always seemed really just charming to me and like a good time. So, and I've heard good things about it. So I might actually check this one out at some point. Are you a big baseball guy, Dennis?
No, I'm not even a big sports guy, but I like certain things definitely more than others. Like you said, if it's arcadey, I'm usually all about it. 'Cause honestly, like arcadey sports, I usually do have a great time with, right? I love me some over the top golf. I have played my fair share of decent
Yeah.
baseball games, and like football, football, soccer, things like that. I'm all about them when they get a little wacky with it, right? Because it's fun. Like that's why I've always said I love all the Mario sports games, because they do
Oh
get a little
yeah.
wacky with it. So yeah, no, I mean I'm all about it. But yeah, no, this one doesn't really interest me as much. So
Yeah, and if you're looking for an RPG, you certainly have a lot to choose from. We just got the Etrian Odyssey HD trilogy, which is the first three Etrian Odyssey games remastered for the Switch, which combined is just an astronomical amount of content. I mean,
yeah, that's
if
so much, yeah.
I mean, they're asking, I want to say like $80 for all three of these games in a bundle, which is a lot of money. But on the other hand, when you look at how much content you're getting from just one of these games in of itself,
Yeah.
like if you like these types of dungeon crawlers, you're set. Like this is it. You don't need anything else,
Yeah,
probably.
Etrian Odyssey has always been fantastic, especially, yeah, like you said, if you love dungeon crawlers and if you're fond of the ones that you played on 3DS, if you'd never played one of the ones on DS, they're incredible. I've reviewed a few of them too, and they've just always been so unique, and the art's great, and the environments are just so well done. The battle systems are really well put together. They're just really, really, really solid games, and you're getting three huge, massive games. I mean, yes, the initial cost of entry is higher than normal, but again, you're getting three beefy games that were just made even beefier with this touch up, and it's yeah, it's an
Yeah.
incredible value. It really is.
And you can get them separately as well if you just want to try one of them and check them out that way. Yeah, the more I think about it, Dennis, I don't think I've ever actually sat down and played a game in this genre before. I don't think I've ever played a dungeon crawler like this.
Oh yeah, no, they're so good. I think it. Now, see, they were great on the DS and 3DS because you had the touchpad to
You
sort
can
of
map it,
create the
right?
map. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, So I'm not sure how this works on a single screen experience, but because Etrian Odyssey has always been sort of been made and tailored for that two screen experience. So I don't know how it's going to translate to Switch. I mean, clearly it did, or else they wouldn't have done it. But you know, it's I don't know. It's just it's interesting to me. But
Yeah.
man, I have some really fond memories of Four and Untold in particular. They just had really, really great stories. On 3DS. They were really good.
Yeah, I do want to go and play. I made sure to pick them up before the eShop closed, because I'm a big Persona fan. But I do want to play the Persona Q games. I feel like that might be a
Oh
really good
yeah, I
kind of
forgot
like
that, yeah.
entry point into that genre for me. But
Oh, that would be better for sure. Yeah, Persona
yeah.
Q, yeah. Because Etrian Odyssey, those are definitely more on the intermediate, I don't want to say expert, but definitely like intermediate, you know, type
Right.
like level of games for dungeon crawlers for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool that these games have kind of lived on in some form. So yeah, go check those out if you're interested. Okay, and then one more that I want to shout out that came out recently. I actually got to play a little bit of this one at Summer Games Fest last year and really had a great time with it. It's called Glitch Busters, Stuck on You. And this is, it's kind of a hard game to explain, but it is a cooperative game that you can play it by yourself, but it's really kind of designed to be played with other people. And it's kind of a mix between like a 3D platformer and a shooter. With like some puzzle elements, it's got just an amazing sense of personality. There's a lot of just really fun little traversal challenges and things that you can do with people, and the stages themselves. I mean, I got to play a few of them, and they're just like there's a lot of creativity packed into this game. The big thing is, it's called Stuck on You because one of the big mechanics has to do with like magnets. So you use like your magnetic abilities to like cling to each other and like stack on top of each other and also to interact with certain things in the environment. So yeah, this one I think I haven't played the full version. I've only played a preview, but from what I've played, it looks like a really good time. If you're looking for something to play with people.
It always looked like it had a lot of charm, and I remember you speaking pretty fondly of it when you first got to try it out. And your preview as well that you wrote was really good. And
Well, thanks.
yeah, it always yeah of course, but yeah, it always looked really, really interesting and definitely something up my alley. Maybe one day I'll pick it up. There's too many games at the moment to, you know, buy
Yeah,
it at the
yeah.
moment. But yeah, it's definitely one of those games that I definitely have some interest in that I think would also be great when playing with other people.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of everything, especially when, let's get into our next segment, refresh rate.
Okay.
I know, I already know the answer, Dennis. I already know what you've been playing.
Yeah.
It's
Okay.
Tears of the
Okay.
Kingdom.
That's correct. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just like every other Switch owner. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, so I'm curious, how far are you, and like, what are your thoughts on the game so far?
Yeah. So, I looked yesterday, and I think on my profile it said I was about 50, 55 hours in. So I haven't been putting as many hours as I would have thought by this point. Honestly, but still a lot more hours than I would have anticipated considering, you know, my busy schedule. So, but yeah, no, it's great. It's just, you know, it's everything you love about Breath of the Wild that's been expanded more so, with fun, interesting mechanics, you know, like the Ultra Hand and, the fuse mechanic. The fuse mechanics are probably the most mind-blowing thing. And just everything about it. Because it's not just fusion in terms of you being able to take multiple weapons and put them together, but the God, I can't remember
Like the
the name of the ability,
building, like vehicle, the
the
Ultra
building
Hand.
thing, yeah, that thing, yeah, just being able to just create literally almost anything from any object, you know, and just it's just insane. It's insane to me, you know, having that ability and the fact that it all works so well. You know, I haven't really had, I haven't encountered any issue regarding that so far. I mean, they must have really just went through insane polish to just make that work, you know, because that must have been incredibly difficult. But yeah, no, it's fantastic. But you know, it's everything that you love about Breath of the Wild, just expanded more so. Now you're going into the sky. Though I will say, I don't know how far you are, Nick, but I gave it some thought the other day, and I was like, you know, this sky, I get what it means from a narrative perspective, but it's kind of pointless. I don't know. Every time I go up there, I'm just like, there's the
Yeah,
random
okay.
islands with nothing there, little blocks of nothing, and then just maybe a chest here and there. But like, there's just random things in the sky. Like, I still spend 90% of my time on, you know, the ground floor of Hyrule. You know, maybe sometimes in the depth too. I do not like the depth at all. But
No.
no, I don't, it's insane down there. But I still spend most of my time in Hyrule, and you know, here we were seeing all these trailers of like, here's Link in the sky, and he's, you know, diving and doing all of this. And I just remember Aonuma a long time ago just being like, well, if we tell you the title, you know, right now, it'll spoil everything. Tears of the Kingdom told me absolutely nothing. I just know people are crying. That's it,
No,
I
see,
guess.
that's why I think it has a double meaning. I think it's Tears of the Kingdom, because now there's all these tears in the ground, and you can, you know, but yeah. No, you
Could
know,
be, yeah.
Dennis, I kind of feel you. Like I've been on the record, like I wasn't like the biggest fan of Breath of the Wild. Like I can still appreciate a lot of what it has done, you know, like it was certainly a very innovative game. I still rank it highly among Zelda games in terms of just the ideas it brought to the franchise and
Sure.
the way it expanded it into something bigger. But for me personally, like it wasn't what I wanted from the franchise at that time. A lot of people were tired of kind of like what they had been doing with the older 3D Zelda games. I was not one of those people. I was perfectly happy with it. And so I think like going into Tears of the Kingdom, at first I was a little skeptical, but as we started seeing more of the game, I was like, okay, there's some cool ideas here. It looks like it's gonna be a little more story heavy. And I will say, like, I do like that they are leaning a little bit more into the world building. The world feels more alive in this game. There's more people to interact with. It feels like there's just more going on in general. You don't feel quite so empty and you know, just on your own the entire time. Like, I like that you're picking up more side quests at an earlier point in the game, and you know, there's more things that you can go do. But that said, like, it just, for me, I guess I maybe it's, this says more about me and the type of games I enjoy, but just like, there's, you know, going and seeking out the shrines, you know, to make myself stronger and the Korok seeds, it's just not that rewarding for me personally. It just, I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over again. You know, I'm, you know, climbing these mountains to come across these puzzles that are all kind of the same and kind of repetitive. And, you know, the new abilities are really cool, but I just, and I have heard that there are, you know, more dungeons later on in the game that are more, a little bit more traditional. But I'm just, you know, everything feels like work in this game. You know, like it's a lot of work just to like get to where you're going, and then your weapons are still breaking all the time, and now you have to like build things to just cross rivers, which is like just basic traversal in any other game. And I'm like, this is a lot of work. I don't really want to do all this. I just want a good Zelda story. Just you know, keep my jaw on the floor with the storytelling. Like that's what I'm here for. So I haven't put in a lot of time, just because a lot of times when I'm picking up this game, I'm just like, oh, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing next. People give you all these kind of like vague directions that you can go in, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I could go up that way, but I know I'm just gonna get absolutely slaughtered the second I come across an enemy. But like, I do think like it's cool, like, you know, like the depths are a really cool concept, the sky islands are really cool. I love how free form everything is, but at the same time, I wish there was a little bit less freeformness. I know that sounds hypocritical, but I think you kind of get what I'm saying, right?
No, yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, no, I understand. I think, see, and I think I've said this before on podcasts. Like, the types of games, I'm an explorer. That's how I like to play my games. I love to
Okay, yeah.
explore and just see new things. So, it being as free form as it is doesn't necessarily bother me. But on the flip side, I completely understand what you mean because I'm also someone who likes structure, right? And I appreciate linearity. I appreciate knowing where I'm gonna go next rather than being like, huh, like what should
There
I do
might be
now as if
something
it.
over there,
Yeah, there might be something over there. There might not be. Who knows? But it's yeah. No, I definitely 100% understand what you're saying because again, I'm someone who likes both. And Breath of the Wild. Jesus Christ, I'm still gonna be calling it that. Tears of the Kingdom is very much scratching that itch for that exploration factor for me. No different from what No Man's Sky did for me back at, or continues to do for me, really, because No Man's Sky never really had a story, right? I mean, it has like little things here and there. You find these monoliths that sort of tell you some nonsense about what happened to somebody whatever ago, and like, but it's the exploration factor that keeps me coming back to games like those. And it's the same thing with Tears of the Kingdom, except, eventually I'm gonna run into some credit sequence, because eventually I'll just have explored everything to the point where, I end up finishing the game. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Again, I'm the type of person, give me a good narrative, give me a good a good structure. I don't mind linearity. I don't think everything on this planet needs to be open world. If I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm quite sick of it at this point. Just give me more structure, give me a more straightforward sight, let me see, where I'm going, what my next goal is gonna be. Just keep things, just more cohesive. I think there's this need, I think, to wanna I think people A lot of games are starting to. They've been doing this for years, really. But a lot of games are confusing intricacy and depth with bloat. And the biggest, I think, issue that I've seen recently has been like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Well, set where Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I thought was a fantastic, fantastic game. But I would have enjoyed it more if it wasn't so damn big. Like,
I mean,
it's too big.
it's a balance, right? Because I like to this game's credit, the sense of like you do definitely feel like you're exploring and adventuring. Like it is, and it's probably partially because of that freeform nature, because you don't always know where you're going, that it is really able to feel that way. And that was something that Breath of the Wild did really well too. But at the same time, if you're someone like myself, that can also be overwhelming and not necessarily in a good way, you know? And maybe that's just a reflection of my life. I need like some structure in my life, and so it translates to video games, you know? I'm not trying to get too deep here, but like really, like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a lot of people turn to video games kind of as an escape. And if you feel like you're gonna have to, you know, be kind of struggling through this kind of maybe somewhat daunting world and not really even sure where you're going or why you're doing it. Like it's not uncommon for me when I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom to start the game, be like, okay, I think I need to go vaguely in this direction, and then not get anything done because I'm so like lost, or I think I'm going the right way and then I'm not. And so that can be rewarding to some people and I think frustrating to others. And
No, that definitely makes sense. I will say what Tears of the Kingdom does different than Breath of the Wild is that, at least in terms of how I feel about it, and I never thought about this in Breath of the Wild, because everything in Breath of the Wild to me felt so masterfully weaved. And I mean, and for anyone interested, I mean, we reviewed Breath of the Wild on the site, when the game came out, when the Switch launched, and I had
6 years
the pleasure
ago.
of Yeah, 6 years
Wow.
ago, I know. I had the pleasure of doing that, and I still think to this day it's one of the best reviews I've written, just because of how in tune I was with that game and everything I wrote about it, but what everything about Breath of the Wild felt cohesive. It felt masterfully weaved. I will say with Tears of the Kingdom, I'm gonna be honest with you. I wish every time I get into a battle now or find myself in a fight, I find myself more often than not saying, I wish there was no combat in this game. And I didn't feel that way with Breath of the Wild. I don't know, there's something about Tears of the Kingdom where I'm just like, I think the combat, every time I get into a battle, I'm just like, man, I don't really want to be doing this right now. You know, but everything else, I love the dungeons, I love, you know, the shrines, the, you know, getting all the chests. The story's really like incredible so far, and you know, meeting all these characters and so on and so forth. But every time I get into a fight, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I don't. It's, and I don't know why I feel that way with Tears of the Kingdom. And you know, it's not because of one of those things, just like, oh, well, you're getting older. You know, that was, you know, 6 years
True,
ago. So you know,
true.
you know, your gaming habits have changed. That's not true at all. Because I mean, and we'll get into it. But I mean, you know, I love combat. You know, I still play a lot of RPGs. You know,
Oh,
RPGs are my favorite genre. You know, and I picked up Street Fighter VI. So I mean, clearly, combat's not an issue. Combat's perfectly fine. But something about Tears of the Kingdom in particular that I just, yeah, I
Well,
don't know.
I
I
think
just.
it's I think you know, at least for me, because I kind of know what you're feeling. I mean, I enjoy the combat in this game, but you know, the whole fusing thing, it feels like a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, it gives you a lot of options. Like, if you look at this whole game as just one big puzzle made of smaller puzzles, there's a lot to enjoy. And I love me some good puzzles. And there are some great ones in this game. And I love that you can go and you can solve puzzles with a bunch of different solutions, you know. I mean, there have been some times where I've done something and I felt it's like, wow, like that's really cool. I can't believe I figured that out in this way that feels different. But I think the thing with combat is because everything you do in combat is using up a resource, right? Much like in Breath of the Wild. And so when a weapon breaks or when you're you know, using a bomb flower and now it's gone, and it's so you really have to be strategic about like when you get into battle. And so, you know, if you get into a battle and everything feels really rough and you lose all your stuff, it can, you know, kind of feel like, oh man, like why did I even bother? You know, it was like, cool, there's less enemies and they're just gonna respawn when the blood moon comes up, you know. So it's in a lot of ways the enemies simply feel like obstacles that need to be, you know, gotten around in some way, you know, but it's not the focus. Like, I wouldn't say combat is like the focus of this game, really. There's a lot of it if you want it, but and there's definitely some times where you can't get around it. But it's yeah. I hear what you're saying for sure. Well, I feel some relief in knowing that I'm not the only one who has somewhat mixed feelings about it. I do plan on playing more of it, but it's just not the type of game that I see myself like rushing to get to the end of, you know?
I mean, I
It's not
wasn't
built for that,
rushing.
but
No,
yeah.
it's not. It's not. I wasn't like that with Breath of the Wild either. I mean, I didn't. The credits didn't roll for me until about maybe 120 hours in, you know, because I was just simply exploring that entire time, and just I wanted to do every single thing, and I did every single shrine, and I got a hell of a lot of Korok seeds. You know, I didn't get them all because there's like 900 or whatever, but I got like, I don't know, 700 of them, you know, and yeah, I mean, I did
That's
everything I could
crazy.
possibly do, every side quest. Yeah, I mean, the game basically became a paperweight, you know, after I was done with it. But yeah, and then, you know, I continued to play it, you know, for quite some time after I beat it. But yeah, it's definitely one of those, you know, you savor it as as you have it. You savor it as you go. You sort of like you one of those games that you nurse rather than just sort of,
Sure.
you know, just run through, you know. But I tell you what, though, on the flip side, I love, continue to love watching speed runs of Breath of the Wild. They fascinate me, man.
Yeah,
They fascinate me. They're
that's
insane.
always cool. Yeah. Which just goes to show like there's a lot of different ways to approach this game. And you know, I really wanted to make a point like when I picked it up, I was like, you know, okay, I wasn't super hot on Breath of the Wild, but I'm really gonna try and approach this game with an open mind. You know, just kind of see where it takes me, And I wish I was more, I wish I was feeling the same like excitement that everyone else was feeling, you know? Like, it's just that
I
sense of
understand.
like, it's like that sense of like, there's something great here, and like, clearly a lot of other people see it, and maybe it's just not clicking with me for some reason. Maybe I need to approach it a little bit differently, or, you know, I don't know, change my strategy or something. But yeah, it's like right now, like I'm really just thinking of like I've been talking for this whole year. I was like, okay, I'm gonna play Xenoblade for the first time at some point this year. And right now I'm like, gosh, I think that's what I really want to be playing right now, is I want something a little more story heavy that kind of guides me a little bit more. And so I think I might take a break from Tears and get into that and see if it kind of refreshes my brain a little bit. Pun intended. All right. Well, anything else you want to mention, Dennis, before we wrap up for the week?
Yeah, I'll just mention like two little smaller things. I've been playing a little bit of Loop 8. That game just came out, I believe, or is about to come out. I'm not entirely sure. Time is a blur to me now.
Yes,
Days and
always.
days and time and I've been playing, Loop 8 Summer of Memories. It's one of XSEED's new games that and it's got a beautiful, beautiful art style, and I'm reviewing it for the site. The review's almost done, so it'll be hopefully going up soon. And no, it's this really beautifully put together game that I will say, if I'm going to critique it without getting too in depth, it's everything about the game is great except for the game itself. And let me explain what that means. So it is a turn-based RPG, okay? And it functions like your typical turn-based RPG, in which, you have, obviously, your enemy's going to go, then it's your turn, then your enemy's going to go, and you have a party of people. But it has this loop mechanic, and it's what I've been saying for years and years and years, where if you're gonna do time travel or anything that touches upon the idea of time travel, you are in a very dangerous place in terms of narrative and in terms of structure, because it is either gonna, you have one of two ways that you're gonna go. You're either gonna do it really well, or it's gonna ruin what you're trying to do. And this is, it's, Loop 8 is suffering, unfortunately, a little bit more from the latter, where if this game was linear, oh my God, this game would have been, the Loop 8 had the potential to be, I think, I don't want to say Game of the Year, that's ridiculous, because Tears of the Kingdom just came out, but
It could have been
in
your
terms of,
personal game of the year, you
well,
know?
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But it had the potential to be definitely one of the best RPG experiences on the Switch, no doubt. But because of this stupid loop mechanic and just constantly resetting everything over and over again, it feels like a roguelite in disguise. And
Right.
me personally, I'm not a fan of that, because every time you reset, so it's sort of like a Majora's Mask thing, right? Where you have 5 days, right?
Right.
You have these demons sort of coming to invade this fictional town in Japan, and called Ashihara, and they're called the Kagai. And they come in and they invade, and you have 5 days to just either wipe them all out, or 5 days until Earth basically explodes. And then you have to just, you're reset. Now you don't have to wait the whole 5 days. You can reset whenever you want. You can reset 5 minutes after you woke up and did your last reset. You can reset after that. But either way, you will reset, whether it's on your own accord or automatically, and or if you die too. If you die, the world will reset also. And every time the world resets, you have to talk to people again, because you build relationships in these games. Now, the relationship mechanic, again, is really well done. You build relationships, and that's how you build stats too, which I think is super, super interesting. It's that, you don't really have your traditional levels. The stats are built based off of your relationship. So if you talk to somebody and then you say, hey, let's go for a walk, or let me get to know you a little bit better, depending on which you choose, that'll add, plus 10 to their attack stat, right? Or plus 50 to their speed stat. It's really, really cool how that works. So there's no traditional fighting. The only fighting you're really doing here is the ones that you need to be doing in terms of the ones to, in the way to protect, you know, the world basically. And so it's really neat how that works. But yeah, every time you loop though, you start back from zero. So you have to talk to everybody all over again, and you have these tasks that you have to do, sort of like a slice of life, sort of Persona-esque, right? Where you do have to go to class, right? You do have to train a little bit. You can either
Which, like, that's the
study.
cool part of that game to me. Like, that's
Right,
what
no, I'm
I
all
think
for it,
is,
yeah.
like, attracting all the Persona fans coming out of the woodwork, being like, oh, what's
Yeah.
this? You know? Yeah.
Well, it's not what you think. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not what you think. So it's but it's all of that stuff is great, man. And that's what kills me is everything in this game is so good. It's so polished, and the battle scenes are great because the way they utilize the camera work, it's not your typical over the shoulder shot, right? Of like you know, you over the shoulder of your party and then you're looking at the enemy. No, it's like everything, like it moves around. It's dynamic. It's almost like sort of like Pokemon Stadium, you know, where
Oh, interesting,
it's
yeah.
moving around, it zooms in on the Pokemon, you know, it's so every time you're about to do an attack, you know, the camera moves a little bit too, and it's like, oh, it's just like that. And it's so cool. It just makes it a lot more immersive and a lot more cinematic, and it never feels dull, right? Because even if you're just idling, it still feels like stuff is going on. And yeah, it's that's that damn loop mechanic, man. And it's just it's I just don't like it. And I get that it's there for narrative reasons, but I wish it was a little more structured and a little more scripted. Because me choosing whenever I want to loop, I don't like that because I don't want to loop. You know, I want to keep, I like my progression. I like, you know, I building up these relationships with these with this huge cast of characters. And these cast of characters, they're all great too. They're
And
all
then you
great.
feel like you have to start over and go through the same dialogue again, and it just
Right.
it
That's
feels
the
like a
thing, and that
grind.
repetition,
It
right.
feels like
And that
work, you know?
repetition, it does. And that repetition kills me, man. And it's such a shame because again, everything about this game is great, but that mechanic
Yeah.
really, really just kills me. But hey, look, some people like that stuff, you know. It's and again, it feels like a, that's why I say it feels like a roguelite in disguise, right? Because that's what you do in those types of games. You go for it. Chances are you die. You start over again, but maybe you have a little more of an understanding this time. Okay, maybe I'll use this weapon instead of that weapon. You know, maybe I'll you know approach it this way instead of that way. And you do it again and again and again and again. But it's like, you know, what's the definition of insanity? You
Right,
know, it's
right.
like you do the same thing over and over again, and you expect different results. But it's not going to happen, you know. And that's how I feel playing this, where it's just like, oh, it's so good, it's so good, it really is. But that loop kills the mood every single time, and I don't like it. Majora's Mask had a really interesting way of how they handled it, but yeah, Loop 8, again, great in every aspect, but that mechanic just sort of kills it for me. But yeah, I'll go into more detail with the review once that comes out. But yeah, it's
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out. It's a bit of a bummer, but I'm still curious about it. I'm not a huge fan of, like, time loop mechanics in games, but you know, I'm hoping that some of the other stuff will make it, you know, maybe make that a bit more approachable for me. We'll see. No.
It's a good game. It is. It is a good game. Like I do,
All right.
I would speak favorably of it. But yeah. But lastly, I've just been playing Street Fighter VI. The game just came out. I haven't played too much of it. I've only put about 2 or 3 hours in it. But it's great, man. Street Fighter VI is. I
It
like Street
looks so
Fighter V a
good.
lot. Street Fighter VI. Like if you haven't played the demo, there's a demo out. Do yourself a favor, check out the demo, and
Oh,
you
yeah.
get to play a little bit of the World Tour mode. So that's a little bit of the story mode that they have there. And because now they have modernized controls instead of the classic controls, so I don't have to, you know, do a whole like, you know, chemistry lesson in order just to punch. So I can just press X and it'll, you know, punch, and you'll have your light, your medium, your heavy attacks, your grabs, and things like that. And you know, the now the controls feel like how I want them to feel, you know. And I can just do, even for the special attacks, I can just do, you know, inputs that I feel are more appropriate, you know, rather than, you know, up, up, down, you know, up, down,
Yeah.
put in your social security and then press A, and then, you know, and then it'll do a special attack, you know. So but yeah, no, it is fantastic so far, and this is what I've wanted from Street Fighter for a very, very long time, and
yeah,
I can't recommend it enough. Like, if you love fighting games or have any sort of interest in fighting games, this is definitely the best one to come out in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it looks really good. I do want to play it. I might get it on my Steam Deck because I feel like that's just a great place
That's what
to
I got
play
it on.
fighting
Yeah, I
games.
got it on. Yeah,
Yeah.
I got it on PC, and I've been just going back and forth between my laptop and my Steam Deck now, and it's been really, really great there.
Very cool. I'll just mention it briefly. I want to shout out this indie game I've been playing. It's called Sunshine Shuffle, and this is a super just. It's a really small scale experience. The premise is, I wrote in my review, if you've ever seen those famous paintings of dogs playing poker, imagine that but turned into a video game, and that's basically what this is. Except all these little critters, they're not all dogs, important note. All these creatures are actually former criminals that pulled off a bank heist 12 years ago. And the reason you are playing poker with them on a boat is to learn about what went wrong. And basically in exchange for them telling you your stories, you're going to like grant them amnesty or whatever. It's ridiculous. But yeah, the whole game is literally just you playing Texas Hold'em around a table with these animals and trying it, like, so like this game gets dark, man. Okay, there's some like emotional, like heavy beats in this game. It's not a super long thing, but it's mostly a visual novel just with some poker in it, but it's cool. And if you're looking for something a little bit more experimental, I'd recommend it. It's an interesting experience.
Yeah, it looked neat. It looked neat. It looks funny too. Just from
it's pretty
from
funny
what I've seen. Yeah,
yeah.
I definitely want to check it out at some point.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. All right, folks. Well, that is our show for the week. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been episode 55. If you like the show, please go ahead and give us a rating on wherever you're listening to. Especially over on Spotify, the ratings really help us get more listeners, so we really appreciate that. And spread the word, and be sure to come back next week, because after Summer Games Fest, we will certainly have a lot to talk about. So, yeah, thank you so much, and we will be back at you soon with everything new.